I'm Janet Gericke, Janet Generally Speaking podcast, and this is part of my Inspired series. I'm with Jen Allen in the studio, and we'll find out more about her as I go through my questions. Welcome, Jen. Thanks for being with me. So this particular podcast is about people that inspire me, and from when we met, that first pitch meeting or briefing meeting, your business acumen and the way that you deal with people and subsequently learned how you manage people, even your suppliers, was really inspiring to me. And I haven't told you before, but I have tried to incorporate some of that thinking and that into the way that I work.
Thanks. Nice to hear.
Where I'd like to start, though,
sure,
is where Jen started, right back when you were a kid. I know that at some stage your mom was in PR and that. So was that environment of creativity and promotion and that always present in your upbringing? Tell us how you started.
Yeah, good question. My mother ran a lot of the Prima South Africa competitions, so like Miss Hillbrow, Miss Spice Gold, etc. So I was very involved in working with her behind the scenes in those environments. She was also a big believer in getting her kids involved in things like modeling competitions and beauty competitions, yes, etc. But it was very much the Miss Margate Beach, no makeup, etc., etc. So yeah, it wasn't like you have with these American things with the fake hair and nails, and it was really good, clean fun.
Yeah, confidence
but
building.
But it built my confidence. We were always involved in the school plays and activities, mm-hmm, at schools like the markets, etc. So I didn't have the typical traditional mom that belonged to the PTA who came to all the school events. My mother was always working in multiple environments, so she wasn't that at-school mom, but those other elements definitely. Mm. And then my parents did a lot of work for the Wild Coast Sun, ran a printing business on top of the PR business. So we were very involved in the activities at Wild Coast Sun during their launch phase. Okay. So my mom ran a community newspaper, and my little job on a Saturday morning was to sit in her office with a red pen and help her proof and do the letter set, et cetera, et cetera, all from that era. So, yeah, there were lots of those elements from my childhood. And I also was involved in waitressing. So yes, I did quite a lot of waitressing initially when we lived in Ramsgate. And then when we moved to Joburg, I got a job at the Wimpy in Cresta. And I worked there for 10 years as a waitress, yeah, through my schooling, through my university, until the end of my first year of my master's. Yeah. So when I had my first full-time job, I was still working at the Wimpy. And in fact, I learnt a lot about franchising. Bizarrely, I landed up in a franchise business.
Yes.
And actually the fundamentals that I have brought into my business today, some of those things actually come from working at the Wimpy, and that reliability, consistency, yeah, loyalty amongst customers. So yeah, it's a whole mishmash of things.
And then, so what did you study?
I studied marketing.
Okay.
So I've got an IMM qualification, and the college that I studied at was the first college, coincidentally, that Advitech bought. And I went on to have a very successful career with Advitech. So yes, I studied there as a student. I had a part-time job at the reception in the evenings, working with the evening students. And then the owners sold the business to Advitech. And through that arrangement, I then had an opportunity to become more ingrained in the senior management at Advitech over the 20 years I was there.
Okay.
So I went from the reception to an Exco member.
Yes.
Over the 20 years that I was there. And it was just my mother always said I was born under a lucky star.
Yes.
So it was always about being in the right place at the right time.
Okay.
And being open to taking those opportunities.
Yeah. So did you only do an IMM?
I did an IMM. And then through the sale of the college, one of the criteria that was built into the sale when the college was sold to Advitech is that I had an opportunity to then do an MBA with Edinburgh Business School.
Okay.
I managed to get a preliminary acceptance into the program. Even though I didn't have an honours, they allowed me to study the first two modules, and if I passed them, then I could continue.
Fantastic.
And I completed my master's, and that was paid for by the original owners of the college, because they wanted me to agree to stay through the sale period because they were immigrating to Australia and they wanted to be able to guarantee longevity to Advitec of certain key staff members. So that all came together for me.
That's amazing. So, because was that your stepping stone into your first franchise?
No, not at all. So, I mean, what happened actually at the end of my career with Advitec, I studied a second master's in innovation. Okay. And through my innovation master's, I then was researching innovative ideas for education in South Africa. And that's how I came to the franchise. So it was my second master's that I did at the end of my time with Advitec. Yes. So I had a master's I studied at the beginning and the second one at the end.
And how did you find studying? Just is it an ongoing thing? Because I know that you don't stop learning. I mean, and that is one of the things that, you know, whether it's informally or formally. But how did you find going from course and working and then another, you know, course and working? And how did you manage that?
I think because I never stopped, I didn't struggle.
Yeah.
I also got married late. Mm. I mean, I only got married at 45. I never had children.
No.
So I didn't have all those other pressures that other people would have where they've got career stops and they're having to start again and they're losing years in terms of having kids and being held back because of a perception that you can't. So I didn't have those challenges.
What is your best advice to somebody who's working and studying at the same time and wanting to grow and wanting to get bigger and better and more of their best self?
Set a routine. You have to, it's like going to gym. It's like mastering anything. You have to put time aside and you need to enjoy it. It can't be a grudge purchase. You need to actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you need to understand that it is going to be tough in the beginning. And you have to work through the struggle. You can't just give up because once you find your feet, it's completely doable.
Yeah.
People do this every day.
Every day.
And you have an opportunity to prove to yourself that you can do something. And no courses are set up for people to fail.
No.
That's not the intention of the course.
Yeah.
The intention is for you to be successful, but you do have to work. So you have to put the time aside. And there is so much of our time that's stolen on things like – you know, dark web, rabbit holes on the internet, etc.
Yeah.
You have actually got time to do this.
Yes.
You just have to give up those other addictions that are stealing your time.
Yes.
And you're not gaining from those things.
Yeah. And I think it's also a case of, okay, well, I choose to do this now or I choose to do this every Friday or whatever, I think is a big thing.
And I'm a big believer. You were talking about Steve Bartlett, and I'm a big believer in one of the things he talks about, which is just start.
Yes.
You know, that just start mentality. If you wait until you're ready, you're never ready.
No.
There's always hurdles. There's always blocks.
That's just what start. I'm learning now, you know, at today's year old.
Exactly.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're never going
to
start.
No, you have to take one module.
Yeah.
You can start with one thing. You don't have to see I worked a lot initially in my career with part-time students when I was working in the evenings, and those were typically 35 to 55 years old, people who hadn't studied for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it was very much about don't think about the 3 or 4 years that this course is going to take as an IMM student, one module at a time.
Yeah.
And once you've done one and you are successful, then you can always the second semester do two, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But just give yourself that opportunity to get going.
We've spoken about advice to people that are working and learning and on that journey. But let's talk about women in business.
Mm-hmm.
You're very active with Diamonds Women's Network. And how did that come about? And what is your advice to women entrepreneurs in business?
Diamonds actually is from a woman that I met when I was lecturing at the IMM. So when I left Advitec, I decided to take up some lecturing on a part-time basis and get back into that, which I had done in my late 20s. So now in my early 40s, I was back in the lecturing circuit, and I met an amazing woman called Belinda Wagner, who is the founder of Diamonds.
Okay.
And she invited me to join, and I became a member. And from there, I became a director later on. And it really aligns with my thinking around supporting women in business. My franchise business is also very driven around that on two elements. One are my franchisees who are business owners, who are predominantly women. And the working mothers that we're supporting through the service that we give. Yes, we support families and parents, but by and large, it's working moms who are the key recipients of the service we provide. And people often ask me, why are you in this business of childcare when you don't have children? Like, why would this interest you?
Yes.
You know? And for me, I'm interested in supporting working women.
Yes.
I've always worked in the education environment, so most of my staff members and team members have always been women. And most of them have had children, and I've seen the struggles in terms of people trying to balance and really make sure that their kids are well looked after so that you're not having to sacrifice one thing for another. And there's also a huge benefit in specialist care for your children as opposed to stringing yourself out.
Yes.
So there's also that mental health benefit. So for me, women in business, it's something that's close to my heart. Funny enough, in my time working in corporate, I never had any sense of being discriminated against. I don't really believe that I experienced the so-called glass ceiling. I was incredibly well supported by the men that I worked for, and I'm a big believer that many women who build successful businesses and or successful careers do that off the back of being mentored by amazing men.
Yeah.
So I don't believe it's a kind of a struggle between men and women. I think that you'll have specific people who don't believe specific people can do specific jobs, but I don't think it's as simplistic as gender. However, having said that, there are definitely professions where it's tougher for women to get ahead.
Yeah.
And I want to say, luckily for me, in inverted commas, I work in education, which is predominantly
women. Yeah.
So that I've never had that experience of this door is closed to you.
Yeah. I would say, though, that if the door was closed to you, you would knock it down if you needed to be there.
I think part of it is that because I don't see the doors closed, I just open the door. So if the door's closed, I just open it. I don't believe I can't open the door. Because it's closed. So definitely, and again, that's from my mother.
Yeah.
She was very bolshy.
Yeah.
And certainly there was nothing that she wanted to do that she didn't do. So, I mean, I definitely grew up in that type of environment where that was never, and my mother never fostered any negative things about how women can't get ahead and how hard, because she ran her own business. So she was in control of her own destiny, you know?
So now, we're going to start going a little bit more personal.
No problem.
We were personal in the beginning. What are your innate strengths?
I think I'm very strong. I did the Marcus Buckingham Strength Finder questionnaire, which I highly recommend and I love.
Okay.
So when you buy the book Strength Finder, it comes with a code for you to be able to do this.
Okay.
This kind of personality profile. And one of the things that stood out for me was my key strength from that process, which I then reflected and understood to be true, is that I'm a great conductor of the orchestra. So I've got good orchestration skills in terms of understanding people's strengths.
Yeah.
I'm a huge believer in let people do what they are good at
and
provide people with an opportunity to be successful and don't try and shove people into boxes they don't fit into. So definitely that part. The second thing is I do persevere. I don't give up after the first thing. And I do believe in myself.
Yeah.
So I don't believe I'm arrogant, but I don't undervalue my own skill set.
Yeah.
And I am very, very confident and capable in terms of setting boundaries.
Yeah.
So
I think that confidence in your skill set is a big thing. And a lot of women, you know, sort of talk about imposter syndrome and not having the confidence to believe in yourself. And that can potentially be a huge hurdle for women to climb over. But I think it's also strangely, and maybe it's the psychology of the difference between, you know, men are from Mars and women are from wherever. In that, you know, there is that. And then there's the repetition and everybody talking about it that reinforces that. So
very true.
with regards to your strengths that we've spoken about and your studies and your mom, what inspires you every day to carry on going?
Gee, that's a hard question. I think that I believe that I'm making a difference. Mm. So I think I am inspired by the fact that I do believe I'm making a difference. I have worked hard to surround myself with great people,
yeah.
And I love the people that I work with. So if I need to engage with someone on a project or on a concept, etc., I'm excited about that the opportunity and the time. And I really do believe that life has presented me with fantastic opportunities that many people who, because I mean, we can talk about the amazing elements of my upbringing, but I also had a tough upbringing. There were lots of things that I had to struggle through. We didn't grow up with a lot of money. I had to pay for all of my own studies, you know, all of these things.
Yeah.
I didn't get a car. I didn't, all of these things that I see youngsters today, just rolling off the, and we all had to, you know, I had to work as a waitress together with a full-time job, together with an evening job. I mean,
and catch the bus.
I caught the bus.
There was no Uber.
I only got my driver's license at 22. I caught the bus every single day into Braamfontein, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not a person who looks at life through the lens of what's going wrong or what could go wrong.
Okay.
I'm not driven by fear. No. So I think that definitely keeps me going is that I wouldn't say – I have a friend of mine who always says I have Pollyanna syndrome because I always like to see the positives. Even in bad experiences, I always sit back and what have I learned, et cetera. Yes. So I'm quite reflective in my nature in that way, but I don't hold grudges and I don't harbor things.
Yeah.
If we've had a discussion about something, I move on.
Yes.
So I think all of those things help me in terms of remaining energized and focused because I'm not living in a dark space. And I also, I liked what you said earlier about how many women talk down about themselves privately and publicly.
Mm.
And I never do that. So I see people doing it, but I don't relate to it. I don't understand why you would look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself how terrible you look. I don't get why somebody would do that. I can't actually understand it, to be honest, because I don't understand what you're getting out of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it happens to me, and it is a knee-jerk reaction where I question, well, you know, who says you can do that? Well, actually, at the end of the day, I say I can do that because I can, and I've proved that I can. So it is a little bit of a Ferris wheel that goes around. Talking about what inspires you, is there any person that you would like to have breakfast with that inspires you, or that having breakfast with them would be inspirational?
Look, Tuli Madonsela, I would absolutely love to spend time with her. I think she's an absolute powerhouse of a woman. So she's the person that kind of immediately comes to mind for me. Steve Bartlett.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to have breakfast with Steve Bartlett? Love him.
Yeah.
Dr. John Delaney.
Yeah.
I also follow him and I love him. I love the way that one of his mantras that he talks about, which I so believe in, is behavior as a language. And I love it.
Yeah.
That defines so much for me about working with people and setting boundaries, et cetera, et cetera, is those kinds of things. Those types of people for me, I'd love to understand what makes them tick and, you know, what the backstory behind them is.
It goes to that saying, you know, it's not what you say, it's what you do kind of thing. Getting a little bit lighter, what do you do for fun? Apart from traveling.
Look, I love to go out. I love trying new places to eat.
Yeah.
I love wine pairing evenings.
Yes.
I love to walk. I walk extensively every weekend. I just lovely. I haven't been there ever to the wilds this weekend.
Oh, wow. I've never been there.
Beautiful. So I love to do things like that.
Yeah.
Walk at Kloofendal, et cetera, et cetera. So that's for me is on my weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays with a very good friend of mine who and I will go every single Saturday and Sunday for walks. And we try and do different things. And then we also try and do after the walk, once on the weekend, we'll go to a different coffee shop. So
oh, nice.
Try different places
yeah.
for a coffee and a whatever. So, yeah, I'm very much, I love experimentation. So those are my main things. Yes. And then I
and
do.
And then traveling.
And travel. I travel a lot.
Yes.
My brothers and sisters live all over the world.
Okay.
So I've got a brother and a sister who live in the UK. I've got a half-sister who lives in Perth.
Okay.
My husband's brother is also in Perth. I've got a brother and a sister in New Zealand.
Okay.
So I've got family. My mother's family is German.
Okay.
So I travel a lot because yeah. for my family, okay. to see my family. So
and recently I've seen on Facebook, some of your posts from Spain.
Yes.
Which is very envious.
My brother and I own an apartment in Spain that we bought last year.
Lovely.
And it's becoming our holiday home
yeah.
for his wife and kids and us, and we have got the place then to go to. My husband doesn't have a British passport, so we want to be able to invest in Schengen visas, and as opposed to having to do two visas to yeah. travel. So that's one of the reasons that we've done that. A number of reasons, but one of them is that. And very interesting, we've met a guy who's in the same road as us, who's also from Pietermaritzburg, born in Zim, but yes. from Pietermaritzburg, and he's the only other South African in this entire town, but he owns the ice cream shop.
Oh, wow.
Wunderbar. So now we've got our rugby spot. My husband and him can sit and watch rugby together.
Yeah.
And we don't have to, subscribe. Okay,
so that's where you got the ice creams from. That
yes.
You were, okay. Yeah.
For sure. So that the ice cream shop is owned by Kevin from the ice cream shop.
Are you a book reader? Changing subjects swiftly.
I love to read.
Okay.
But I don't read as much as I used to. I read a lot of magazines.
Okay.
I have a very cool app on my iPad where I download a lot of magazines. So I read a lot of magazines. I read books if I'm on holiday
yeah.
to relax.
And that's fiction?
Yes.
Are you a non-fiction reader?
Not really. My husband is, though.
Okay.
He loves autobiographies. He loves the mindset of serial killer type of books.
yeah.
You know what makes serial killers tick.
Yes.
And history and true crime and all of that yeah. thing. I very much more read the Jodi Picoults, okay. Bell Parks, those yeah. type of books.
Yeah. Yeah, for Jodi Picoult and that, I'm very nervous of reading hers because of her content is always so either topical or triggering.
Quite jarring, yeah. I do read quite a lot of business books, though. So,
yeah.
I mean, I have my absolute favourites, like Daniel Pink has got this amazing book called To Sell Is Human, and okay. I love it because it's all about how everybody says they're not in sales, but everybody is actually in sales.
Yes. Like
every time you convince your children to eat their vegetables or to go to bed, that's selling. And so I love, he's a social psychologist, and I love yeah. his thinking about theories of motivation, et cetera. So those types of books I like okay. to read. So I read quite a lot of those.
You have to pick your brain
Malcolm
more on
Gladwell,
those.
Et cetera. Yeah.
Blue Ocean Strategy.
Blue Ocean Strategy. Et cetera.
And with all of this, I'm going to ask you the question, but I kind of think I know the answer.
No problem.
Do you have a mantra?
Carpe diem is really what I believe in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, my ex-employees at Rosebank College used to know that about me. It was yeah. written on my door. My husband made a sign for my office door that says Battleship. So he has a different version of Carpe Diem. But yeah, I know that that's what comes to mind yeah. immediately for me.
Okay.
And then live and let live is another thing for me. It's like you don't have to subscribe to someone's views, but I'm very anti people that are anti people or yes. anti positions.
Yes.
Most of what we talk about is an opinion. Very little is fact. So I very much believe in live and let live. So we don't have to have meeting of minds on everything.
No, please let's not have meeting. Yeah. Otherwise it's very boring. But you need
– lowest common denominator also.
Yes.
Because for us to agree, we then have to go to the simplest position,
yes.
et cetera. So I don't believe in that at all.
No, and – I've got a friend and one of the – the things that I love about her friendship is that she's an activist and all sorts of things, but the big thing is our discussions. She's always challenging, and you know, vice versa. And she has different opinions and different views, but that's the energy of that friendship, and I wouldn't change it at all. When the tough gets going, what do?
I buckle down.
Okay.
What's quite interesting in my personality, people that don't know me, is that I'm quite loud and bossy and organized, but when things go horribly wrong, I'm very quiet.
Okay.
I'm very methodical. I'm extremely calm.
Okay.
And I always say to people, if I'm not talking to you, there's a problem. It's like behavior is a language.
Yes, exactly.
So, when things get tough, I remain extremely calm. I had an extremely challenging period in my career before I started my franchise business. And I managed to navigate my way out of that situation simply by remaining calm.
Okay.
So when you're in a very tough HR situation, the mantra of most employers is to create panic in individuals.
Yeah.
So we talk about the fact that, let's say, the company's restructuring, and what we hope is that people will then leave of their own accord, so we don't have to pay them out retrenchment packages. Okay. So our strategy is to create
chaos,
panic.
Yeah.
And the average human being does panic. People resign without jobs because they don't want to face going through a retrenchment. So those scenarios are where I would be typically the person that remains completely calm and let the thing play out.
Okay.
You don't allow yourself to be intimidated into an action that's saving someone else money and costing you money.
Yes.
Because that's what that – and I'm not saying every employer is like it, but me,
no.
I think
– You see it all the time.
The thing with employees is that one of the key issues with most employees, especially in corporates, HR is not your friend.
No.
They work for the company.
Exactly.
They do not work for you.
Yeah.
They are not there to look after you. And most employees have got a misplaced trust. And actually, think about it. Who's paying this person? Who set the HR department up? Why would you invest in this department? They're in the interest of the company. And not. Yeah. I don't mean that in a bad way. That's their job.
That's their role. Yeah.
And it's the organization's right to ensure that their workforce is managed according.
Mm.
And for many individuals, it's about minimum compliance on regulations.
Yeah.
They're not there to look after you.
No, it's absolutely
true. You need to look after yourself.
Yeah. And there have been periods in my life where there's been too much investment into the organization and those kinds of things.
Yeah, so you have to teach yourself to step back.
Yeah.
And I think the benefit of my quite chaotic childhood, because my mother was very nomadic, so we moved a lot, moved schools a lot, houses a lot, etc., is that that thing about being able to remain calm in a chaotic environment is definitely a thing that I know how to do well. So that's part of why my business survived through COVID. When childcare businesses were being decimated in COVID, most nursery schools closed down, changed hands, et cetera, et cetera. And we just remained calm and focused.
Yeah.
This was out of our control.
It was completely. Yeah.
So you have to
manage
it
through.
I mean, I picked up a lot of lecturing work myself personally, so I didn't draw any money out of the business at all through that entire period. I had staff that I had to let go because I couldn't afford to pay their salaries. I had to work with all of my contractors, et cetera, et cetera. So you just need to – and you need to be transparent with people.
Yes.
This is the situation that we're in, and this is it.
That's exactly the right way. I mean, looking at – I don't know where the companies did, but you then revert to what is your crisis communications sort of both internally and externally. Before we come to my quick fire questions, you've spoken about the franchise and before you started it and we've talked around it a little bit. Tell me a little bit about Club Engage because that is your franchise.
Yeah. So Club Engage is the largest premium aftercare provider in the country. So we run 45 aftercare and holiday care sites based primarily on the primary school sites.
Okay.
So we have some sites that are not on primary school sites. There's a couple that run in party venues and community centres, etc. But by and large, we are situated on the direct site of a primary school. We are the on-site outsource provider for the school.
Okay.
And it's run through a network of 12 franchisees who own rights to specific areas.
Right.
And they set up multiple aftercare centres in an area. So I have someone in Randburg, someone in Sandton, someone in Durbanville, someone in Morningside in KZN, etc. And they look after a cluster of schools in their area. And we are providing an opportunity for somebody to enter a childcare business on a low-cost, high sweat equity model. And I always say that to prospective franchisees, this is not an investment business where you're going to put some money
and it's an
e-commerce thing in the background or some passive income nonsense. We have no passive income. If you're not working, you're not going to earn any money. And childcare is not a get-rich-quick scheme.
No.
I mean, we've seen all the media coverage now in this debacle with ClearToZone. And, you know, anybody who buys into the idea that they're going to become radically rich in childcare, it's a Ponzi scheme. It's not. It's not a high margin business.
Yep.
You see what parents pay. We have a huge staffing cost because our predominance of our business is staff as opposed to stock or debtors or anything like that. So it's, I'm creating a vehicle where people have an opportunity to run a childcare business. Most of my franchisees don't do that solely. So it is a business within a cluster of businesses. So I've got people that are tax practitioners, lawyers, educational psychologists, et cetera, et cetera, chartered accountants, et cetera. And they will do and run this business in conjunction with other things that they do. So I am seeking the kind of serial entrepreneur profile. And I want someone that's very focused on client care because when you're working with children – things go wrong.
Yep.
And it's about managing that.
Yeah.
So every day is a good day, but you will have days where things go wrong.
Yeah.
So that's the nature of what we do. You're working with people. I mean, you work with people, things go wrong.
Yeah.
And now children. Working with kiddies as well. Yeah. And parents who have a view on what has transpired, even though they weren't there. So all of that in the mix.
That's
you have to be really focused around communication, transparency, and boundary setting.
With yes.
With everybody.
Yeah. No, but
with everybody. It's staff, it's children, parents, school stakeholders. I mean, we all have to understand our roles and our boxes.
Yeah.
And we are in partnership with each other.
But those are good lessons, whether it's in what you're doing, you know, with your multiple sort of audiences, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good lesson for anybody in business is exactly what you're talking about. So now we come to the quick fire questions. Okay. You can give me a little story or just one word. It's great. So cool. Star sign.
Capricorn.
Chocolate or chips?
Chips.
Tattoos.
Never.
School.
Roosevelt Park High.
Tea or coffee?
Always coffee.
Cook or eat out?
Eat out.
Best part of your day?
When I wake up.
First thing you think about in the morning?
What's on the go for the day?
Okay. Are you creative morning or night?
Morning.
Your favorite writer? Oh.
Sure. God. For now, I'd say Jodi Picoult, but you know, it changes.
What makes you nervous?
Dealing with somebody that's very upset.
Mm.
If I know I'm walking into something where someone's very upset, it does make me nervous.
Yeah, I'm sure. Favorite getaway?
Sure, that's hard. Spain, I'd have to say for now, Spain.
Okay. How do you feel about social media?
Love it.
What's in your bag that you can't live without?
My cell phone.
Which is charging at the moment.
Exactly.
Finally, what song is playing that currently making you dance?
Sure, that's so hard. because I always play the same thing. So like I love Adele, I love Celine Dion, but I'm not very contemporary as in it has to be right now. So
no. So currently, maybe that's the wrong word. So what song is making you dance today?
Sure. I don't know.
And you'd be surprised how many people don't.
Yeah, no, don't know.
It was like, what was I listening in the car?
Exactly. What I was listening to in the car was my GPS telling me how to get here.
Jen, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure.
It's been a lovely conversation. And hope people can take away some nice learnings and inspiration from what we've spoken about.
Thanks, Janet. It's had a lot of fun.
Good.
Thanks for the invite.